My name is Quincy Titchener. I am in Main Street. My father grew up in the California Bay Area, attending the University of California, Berkeley, where he received his BA, and Boston University, where he received his MFA. He is not a doctor or a lawyer, but does occasionally play one on TV. He is an actor, a playwright, and one of the directors of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, a three-man comedy group. If you read Othello in English class, you may have seen their Othello rap. My dad's the curly-haired white guy who calls Iago a punk who made himself a menace because he didn't like Othello the more of Ven. Yes, very good. He occasionally comes to Exeter to see me, pass judgment on my haircuts, and weasel his way into the life I've built for myself here. He's traveled all over the world, has performed in a variety of places, from the White House to London's West End to off-Broadway, way off-Broadway. But the coolest part about him is that he's my dad.
Well done.
Without further ado, I present my dad, Austin Titchener.
Well, much of you. Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me. Thank you, Principal Hassan. Thank you, Quincy, for that introduction. I only hope I can live down to it.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 384, Arts and Ambassadors. Last October 11, 2013, I was invited by Phillips Exeter Academy in New Hampshire to speak at their family weekend assembly about my old friend Chris Stevens, the American ambassador to Libya, who was killed in Benghazi on September 11, 2012. Because the audience was mostly students, it gave me the chance to remember Chris's days as a student and the role the performing arts played in making him the man he was. And to celebrate Chris's birthday, which would have been this Friday, I wanted to share these memories with you.
I've been asked to talk to you this morning about my old friend, Ambassador Chris Stevens. Chris was the American ambassador to Libya who was killed in Benghazi, along with three other Americans, on September 11th, 2012, 13 months ago today. But I'm not here to talk about the events of that night because, one, I'm not qualified, and two, it's actually too painful for me to think about how Chris died because we were old friends from high school, and I prefer to think of how he lived. So I want to go back in time a little bit. Chris had only been the ambassador for 4 months when he died. President Obama named him ambassador in May of 2012 because prior to that, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton had appointed Chris to be the American envoy to the Libyan opposition in March of 2011. Chris helped establish diplomatic ties to what would become the new Libyan government after the rebellion and overthrow of Muammar Gaddafi. Chris was made the envoy because prior to that, he had spent 20 years in the State Department and the Foreign Service, stationed in many of the major capitals of the broader Middle East, Tripoli, Damascus, Riyadh, Jerusalem, Tunisia, Cairo, Amman, establishing relationships, forging friendships, and building trust with shopkeepers and diplomats, militiamen and doctors, teachers and politicians for over two decades. During those years, in the words of journalist Robin Wright, Chris got to know both the people of the streets and the elites. He spent all those years in the Middle East and North Africa because prior to that, Chris was practicing international trade law in a huge law firm in an even more dangerous place, Washington, D.C. He left that job pretty quickly because prior to that, Chris spent 2 years in the Peace Corps, teaching English in the High Atlas Mountains in Morocco, where he fell in love with the sights, sounds, scenery, language, history, culture of the and the people of the region. That's where he first learned to speak Arabic. I know he loved the adventure of being there, But I'm sure he also loved being the only tall, blonde guy around for five countries. But prior to that, Chris and I went to the University of California at Berkeley, where we lived in the same ATO fraternity for 4 years, were roommates for two of those years, and got off-campus apartments in the same building where after we graduated. We were both history majors at Cal, but where I was a double major in theater, Chris was a double major in everything else. He took a course in what seemed like every department on campus: English, drama, rhetoric, music, Italian, economics, forestry, urban development, logic, classics, philosophy, art history, geology. I know I'm forgetting a lot. Chris was the walking embodiment of the liberal arts ideal. His knowledge was broad and deep. And by the time he left Cal, Chris was a Renaissance man who could talk to anybody about anything in any part of the world. Because prior to that, Chris and I went to high school together. And from the time I first met him, Chris was always traveling. He spent a high school summer in Spain through AFS, the American Field Service, and a college semester in Perugia, Italy. Chris loved meeting new people, and those people would inevitably become lifelong friends. He was endlessly curious. He always wanted to know your story, and he would sit chatting with you for hours, usually over endless cups of coffee that he loved to brew himself. When Chris died 13 months ago today, he was eulogized by people from all over the world and all along the political spectrum. President Obama said Chris embodied the best of America, and that we must reaffirm that our future will be determined by people like him. Senator John McCain met Chris several times and called him a friend and one of America's finest and bravest Foreign Service officers. And Secretary of State Clinton, along with many others, said we need more people like Chris Stevens. I absolutely agree with that. We do need more people like Chris. So I've been thinking, how do we get more people like Chris? For me, it goes back to our time together in high school. Chris and I met at Piedmont High in 1976. We were lowers, just a year younger than Quincy is now, and according to our yearbook pictures, we looked like this. Yeah. Yeah, it's funny to you. Piedmont is a suburb of San Francisco surrounded by Oakland. In the 70s, we had a very strong athletic program. We had football, basketball, track, cross-country, water polo, crew, golf. Chris played on the tennis team. He loved tennis, played it all of his life, all over the world. Chris was also the editor-in-chief of the Piedmont High School newspaper, The Highlander, and managed to make that tough, demanding job look easy. But most importantly, at least from my perspective, Piedmont High had an amazing performing arts department. Every year we put on a fall play, a holiday concert featuring both a full orchestra and an a cappella choir, a dance concert with a full jazz band, a Gilbert and Sullivan operetta, and a spring musical. Chris played saxophone in the jazz band. He sang in the a cappella choir and the chorus of the Mikado. And in the Music Man, our senior year, Chris sang in the barbershop quartet. My point is, Chris did it all. And he didn't do it all because he was a show-off. He did it all because he had so many interests. He was a scholar, athlete, writer, editor, traveler, musician, actor. And the amazing part was that he was allowed to do it all. He was able to do it all because Piedmont High School had teachers and administrators who were willing to be flexible enough to allow curious students to pursue a variety of interests. There's only so many hours in a day, of course, but for instance, Piedmont High scheduled the big annual musical in the spring, specifically so the football players could be in it, and a lot of us track guys as well. For me, it was this training in and exposure to the performing arts in high school that was, you'll pardon the expression, so instrumental in making Chris such a wonderfully effective diplomat and all-around Renaissance man. Now, I do want to be clear on several points. I'm not saying that math, science, athletics, even the humanities aren't valuable. I'm sure they're very nice. But the performing arts, and theater specifically, teaches something I think those other disciplines don't, which is empathy. Theater requires you to put yourself in the other guy's shoes, to explore characters and ideas and points of view that might be new or even alien to you, not in some abstract intellectual way, but in a deeply personal way that allows and sometimes forces you to embody attitudes and behaviors and beliefs that may be the complete opposite of your own. Also, I should say, I don't think the arts transformed Chris. Music and theater were always a part of his life. His mother was a cellist and his stepfather was a conductor and a music critic. And apparently Chris always had a flair for the dramatic. His brother and sister tell stories about how he always loved to run around pretending he was a superhero or a spy. But in those important high school years, the arts were available to him. They allowed Chris to cultivate and explore skills and instincts and talents he already had. And not just study, he was able to play and perform and to put in practice what he studied in class. When we were at Cal, I directed a community theater production of the musical 1776. And that's Chris, second from the right. Chris played Robert Livingston, the New York delegate to the Continental Congress and member of the committee to draft a Declaration of Independence, along with John Adams, Ben Franklin, Roger Sherman, and Thomas Jefferson. We learned something incredibly valuable rehearsing this moment that you're looking at. This is one of the best songs of the show, in my opinion. It's called But Mr. Adams, and it's a song where each member of the committee tries to get out of writing the Declaration of Independence while the other congressmen sing barbershop harmonies in the background. I'm a history major, and so I know that that's what actually happened. We rehearsed it at first with each note being sung as it was written by the character who was supposed to sing it, and it sounded just okay. But then we started improvising and moving the notes around, with one actor taking the notes written for the other guy's character, until we found the right blend for these five guys, this unique and particular group of voices. Sometimes you've got to sing a different note if you want the whole song to sound amazing. We never would have discovered that if we'd stuck to the script. During our junior year at Cal, Chris and I had a third roommate named Steve McDonald, who called Chris the jazz diplomat. Both jazz and diplomacy involve a solid structure and natural progressions and require a complete command of the notes you're supposed to play. But they also both involve improvisation, requiring the players to listen to each other, to give each other respect, let each person step forward and have their moment, while the others provide support and counterpoint. It's all about communication. But jazz is famously also about the notes that you don't play. Chris also knew the power of silence when he would sit quietly sipping coffee while waiting for a colleague or even an adversary to reveal information Chris needed. Chris was never going to be a professional actor or musician, but on stage, Chris learned to be poised and confident. He wasn't a prima donna. He was a team player. He could step downstage for his solo moment and then step back upstage to be a member of the ensemble. When Chris joined the Foreign Service and stepped out onto the world stage, he was able to say what needed to be said, and even more importantly, he was able to listen. But just like music and theater, diplomacy is more art than science. And Chris was an artist. Also, finally, I want to make it absolutely clear that I am not encouraging any of you to actually pursue a career in the performing arts. Please do not do that. If you do, I will hunt you down. But I am encouraging all of you, at least once, to be in a play or a musical. Even if you never step out onto a stage again, by working on a play or rehearsing a musical piece or learning choreography or collaborating on a performance or even helping to construct and move sets in three dimensions, you will have learned the appreciation of the value of teamwork, about working towards a common goal, about delaying gratification until the night of the performance, and you will have also gained the confidence to meet a stranger, apply for a job, stand up in front of your coworkers, give a speech, present a paper, or what the hell, maybe change the world. Chris Stevens was the least cynical person I ever knew. Despite every reason not to, he remained optimistic that the world could be made a better place. He thought life was an adventure, whether it was running off to join the Peace Corps or renting a car and driving it across Asia, which he did, or sneaking into Libya during a revolution on a cargo ship, which he also did. I like to think it's because we did all those shows together. He would just say, come on, it'll be fun. It's just another school play. How tough could it be? Also, for a guy with such a political job, Chris was the least political and least partisan man I ever knew. And boy, don't we need that now. He gained respect by giving respect. He found harmony where there was discord. He also had fantastic taste in ties and cufflinks. His mother gave me these earlier this year. They were his. Chris had friends everywhere. It was a few dozen fanatics who attacked his compound, but it was over 30,000 people in Benghazi alone who demonstrated in protest over his death. Chris's entire life was an attempt to understand and to avoid stereotyping and generalizing, to humanize a region and a people way too frequently demonized. He didn't like sitting behind a desk. He didn't like riding in convoys of armored SUVs. Chris wouldn't hide behind barriers. He wanted to get up and perform, improvise, play with people. He used fun and the human dimension to bring people together, whether he was starting a snowball fight between Israelis and Palestinians, which he did, or grabbing the camera from one of Gaddafi's security goons and taking a picture of him and then handing the camera back, which he also did. Chris was always able to improvise. When we were at a party in college and the photographer came up to us just as our dates had headed off to the bathroom, Chris said, "You know what? Take the picture anyway." We do need more people like Chris Stevens, and it cheers me up immensely to think that the next Chris Stevens might be sitting here amongst you right now. Thank you.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your memories about high school performing arts via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website at a Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey. Voted most likely to become a clown after high school, Matthew Croak. Music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Karen Shakespeare. I hope that's her real name. No reason. It's just random. Special thanks to my son, Quincy, who gave me that lovely introduction. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 384 1150 seconds of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. I followed up my speech in Exeter that day with a short question and answer session. So I'll just share with you what happened when I was asked if I had any embarrassing stories about Quincy.
They're all embarrassing. He potty trained at a very early age. He was off the charts in his ability to potty train. I mean, that's not embarrassing. That's just me bragging. But really, he still is very quite good.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.